Today on Real Radio.
There's more to us than what meets the eye. You're going to live forever. If you trust in Jesus, it's going to be heaven. You're going to live forever, says the Bible. And if you don't trust Jesus, it's called hell, and he doesn't want you there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Our teacher is taking us through the last two paragraphs of chapter 10 in a mini-series called More Than What Meets the Eye. It's one of the New Testament sections that addresses the issue of true teachers versus false teachers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called More Than What Meets the Eye.
Recognize wherever you go, God has engineered a divine appointment for you. Is it a phone call? Is it somebody in the family? Is it a neighbor? Is it where? It doesn't matter. Wherever God has appointed you is where God has a work for you to do. Listen, this should remove some doubt from your minds about where you're at. Man, I was wondering about that job, that company, that place, that thing I'm doing right now. Drives me nuts. There's nothing there but a bunch of pagans. Hello? That's why you're there. How are these poor pagans going to get reached? By you. God has appointed your feet. And that's a very, very wonderful thing. And God has given you authority. Listen, thirdly, here is found in verses 14 to 15, is our ministry is the gospel itself. Now, listen, the gospel. Look what he says. For it was to you, the Corinthians, that we came with a 10-step program on how to get rich? No. A 12-step program on how to think better about yourself? Nope. Listen, no matter what you offer up, even in a so-called church setting, if it's not the gospel of Christ, it's not the gospel, my friends. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors. Watch this. Here's his motive. But having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our influence. This is awesome. The ministry of the gospel. What is the Christian to do? Christians, listen, you're going to get a little uncomfortable for a moment. Are you okay? Here we go. As a Christian, you should be able to tell people, anybody, at any given moment, we should have a drill right now. Right? We really should. If you're a Christian, right, you've experienced God's transforming power in your life, you know that what you once were, you are not now. I had this dear young lady come up to me after first service in the foyer, and she said, I've been a Christian for 2 years now, and I don't feel like I'm growing because I had a temper before, and it's been doing great for these last 2 years, and then somebody made me upset, and the old me came up, and am I saved? And I said, oh, man, this is so awesome. Truly, it is awesome. Listen to you. Before, you couldn't recognize what drove you crazy and everybody around you crazy. And you didn't recognize what was wrong with you. Then you met Jesus Christ 2 years ago. You've been walking in his grace. And now you recognize because some level of provocation brought out your old nature. And look it. Instead of you defending it, you're crying here in the foyer because you can't stand the memory or the appearance of the old you. I said, look at you. You are gloriously saved. I said, why don't you just give me your Bible? Let's just burn it. Let's just throw it away. No, I can never do that. Well, why don't you just deny Jesus? And I can never do that. Why could you not throw away your Bible? Why could you not deny Jesus? Because you love your Bible and you love Jesus because you love your new life. And you now recognize the old you. And I said, listen, go read the book of Romans, because Paul will tell you how to crucify the old flesh again that keeps popping up. Have you noticed that? You just, oh, I've got victory. I got victory in that area, brother. I got victory. And then you let down your guard and boop, right? And that's how you grow. She goes, well, I haven't sensed the presence of God lately in my life. I said, well, you're doing something wrong? No. I said, then listen, you're growing. It's kind of like when you're teaching your kids how to ride the bike. When you're teaching them how to ride a bike, you're holding onto the bike. And you're even you, the one, the parent, teaching the kid how to ride the bike, you're kind of going down the street and you're like, oh, it's okay. What time is it anyway? And you're it's kind of cash. You know what's going on because you're in control. But when the parent lets go of the seat, remember the kids, don't let go. And you lie your head off completely to them. It's biblical lying. I won't, sweetheart. I'm right here, baby. Everything's fine. You're not going to crash. And you let go. Daddy, don't let go. I'm fine. It's okay. I'm right here with you. And they do great until they look back. They get their eyes off of where they're going, and they look back, and then they crash when they look back. You can put a stopwatch on it. It happens that like that. Here's the amazing thing. As a parent, you're never more closer to them than when you let go. You may not be physically there, but are you emotionally there? Oh, yeah. Are your eyes on them more now that they're under their own power? Listen, God does that to the Christian life. When you go give the gospel, you're going to say, I'm scared. Listen, as a Christian, you have got something to say. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, the gospel. I'm going to give it to you in a moment. The gospel. Every Christian should be able to give to someone else the gospel in moments. Okay, listen. The second thing is it's all of his power. It's all of him. That's why we are terrified to do it. Imagine right now, I could have really set you guys up today. I could have said like I often do, how many of you are Christians in here? Raise your hand and your hands would go up. Great, come on up here and tell us in 3 seconds, how did you accept Christ? Oh, great, move on. Think of that one. It's easy to raise your hand. The truth's something different, right? The Christian can tell you, stumbling, terrified, yes, but they've got something to say. And it is awesome. And it's the power and the transforming power of the gospel. And Paul tells the church at Corinth, we came to you not selling some package. We came to you to give you the gospel. And church, are you ready? Here it is. Mark it down. Put it in your margins. Write it on your friend's forehead or their arm right next to you. Do this. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Paul said, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. That makes him a distributor, not a manufacturer. Next week, we'll talk about manufacturers. That number one, watch this. One, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. Number one thing, I know Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Bible. Number two, and that Jesus Christ was buried. This is the gospel. Number three, that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Fourth, it's all about the Bible. It's all according to the scriptures. Did you get that? That's it. Now watch this. Jack, are you sure? Did you leave anything out? Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, according to the scriptures. He died in our place. He was buried and he rose according to the Bible. Notice, in two verses, according to the Bible. Biblical authority. The gospel is that simple. Now watch this. You say, man, are you sure it's simple? Go ahead and put that verse back up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15, look how simple it is. Look at this. It's so simple, a child can get it. You add to this, and you've departed from the path of grace. Look at it. You say, Pastor, I have a hard time with it. That's just too simple. You know what? Try to tell a arrogant man or a proud woman these verses right here. They'll reject them in a heartbeat. Listen, are you listening? This is almost, as it were, spiritual code. It's almost like a chemical test or an acid test of, how about this? It's like a pregnancy test. Is the Holy Spirit in you? I don't know. Well, let's take a test. Let's dip you in this verse. What color is this? If you say, thank God, Jesus died for my sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day, thank God. You know what? You're pregnant. I mean to say the Holy Spirit lives in you, okay? If you say, that's ridiculous, that's so simple, I can't believe that. If it's so simple, why can't you believe it? See, it's a test. It shows that your pride and your arrogance is too big to receive the simple truth of God, which, by the way, as we learned last Sunday, cost him everything. The gospel. Absolutely. Third and final argument is this, verses 16 to 18. Thank God, there's more to us than what meets the eye. And the joy of that is that we are currently en route to heaven. Oh, I like this. Now, I got my pilot's license when I was very young. I love airplanes. I've always loved airplanes. I know too much about airplanes. And I'm always, you know, a plane will fly by and I know it and I will tell you about it. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of a sickness of mine. But what's really cool is that whenever you're flying, there's a thing that's flight following, it's called. Or in this context, we would say en route following. What does that mean? That means there's a whole lot of eyes looking at you flying. There's computers looking at you. Your altitude is being transmitted. The location's known. And they'll even talk to you about changing this or that and ascend or descend or do this or do that. Why? Because there's this overriding system that knows exactly where you're at all times. Are you with me? And a lot of it, of course, we would use the term today that we recognize GPS, which is awesome and terrifying at the same time. When your phone knows, somebody at Google and some satellite knows exactly where you're at right now. All of your phones are sitting right here. They can see that from space. They know exactly where you're at. And so you think of that. But if you're out in the middle over the Rocky Mountains at night or over the ocean, you're happy about that. If we can do this with technology, does God not have the ability to know all about you en route to heaven? Lord, where am I? I got you. It's bumpy. I got you. It's dark. I have it. Lord, haven't heard any reports lately. I'm here. All is well. Listen, based upon the facts, you continue on. If your en route trip to heaven is all about how you feel and all about your emotions, then listen, there's a good chance at best it's going to be a very, very, very turbulent, scary trip. At best. If emotions are your theology base, you may not be heading toward heaven at all.
Well, that just did wonders for my emotions.
Good then, because listen, you need to be based on the facts. Amen. And the facts is this, that Jesus Christ has deposited, 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, the Holy Spirit into your life, and it's his job to get you to heaven. You ought to breathe a big sigh of relief. It's the Spirit's job to get you to heaven. And I'm glad about that because that produces a couple of things. Number one, a soul mission for all of us. Did you know that? A soul mission. God, now that he's got your soul, your heart, you're en route to heaven, the greater the reality of Jesus Christ and that beautiful termination, really, when we land, it's going to be in heaven. And the more you marinate into that truth, the more you've got to tell other people. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew 28, making disciples of all men. Remember, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Do you want to see Jesus work? Don't say yes. But do you really, really, really want to see Jesus work? Oh, yes, I do. Then listen, take his word up. And do what Paul's teaching us today, because there's more to you than what meets the eye. And get on out into your marriage, or get on out into your family, or get on out into your work, into your world, and let Jesus out. Because as you're en route to heaven, he so wants to use you right now. You say, yeah, but you know what? I've been used by God, and I did this and that. Listen, are you still breathing? God wants to use you. Literally. Wants to use you. And listen, one of the great things is Jesus is all about souls. He's all about souls. Do you care for the lost? Do you care for those who are not heaven bound? Listen, we all would have, or we may struggle with, a Pharisee type spirit where I'm going to heaven, all is well. Listen, when heaven is secured for your heart, you're not exactly happy until others around you know about heaven too. They may have rejected the offer, but you had to tell them about heaven. You had to tell them how to get there. You had to give them that gospel. And it's about souls. And that's vitally important. Next is this, and we're almost done. we're heading to the finish line. I'm so glad about this. Heading to the finish line, not only in the message, but are you going to go? Are you going to make it? Will you be there? Jesus said to watch and to pray and to be ready. The Bible tells us that we should be having our eyes fixed on the horizon in all that we do. Busy about our Father's business, occupying till the Lord comes, yes, but our eyes are fixed on the horizon of Jesus' coming. I got to tell you, I have to confess honestly, that's tough for us as a church because, listen, I don't know how long I'll be pastoring here. That's God's business, but I know that I won't be here forever. So I have to be thinking, and I'm glad to be thinking, the next 10, 15 years, what's that going to look like? To what will we be leaving the next generation of believers, the servants, the ministers, the pastors of the future? And so we've worked hard to make sure that if we all drop dead today, the future generation has got a place to conduct their services and to do their outreaches and to do what God's called them to do. Watch this. This is important. The tough part is planning for the future when you want to go home. Don't you want to kind of like, you know, I want to see heaven. We're coming to the finish line. And sometimes we have a tendency to want to give up, which leads us to this closing argument. We sometimes get disappointed. Don't get disappointed. In verse 18, he says, "For not he who commends himself is approved." Don't think that the guy who boasts about himself and fortifies himself and it's all about himself is approved. No, 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 no. But whom the Lord commends, the one who the Lord fortifies, that's the one. And this is our closing challenge to all of us. And I'll start with me. I have in my notes a reminder here about the report card. I wrote myself a note, the report card. And I don't know if I don't like what I'm about to say. I don't like this. It seems like, though, every job I've ever had is like this. For some reason, even before I became a pastor full-time, in the engineering job that I had at Baxter Healthcare, I worked there 13 years on two projects, and each project, I mean, two projects in 13 years. Millions and millions of dollars of budget for these programs. And they all, by the way, all two of them made it to market, and they're in the hospital today around the world. Okay, great. But it's like really long-term stuff. And I remember one time kind of complaining about that. Man, we've been working on this thing for years, and I didn't even know it was going to work. And then Lisa reminded me, hey, suck it up. That's how she talks to me. Suck it up. She said, listen, parenting, we won't know how this works till way later. Man, I never forgot that. As a pastor, you know what? I won't know if this is really working until I stand before Jesus. You say, well, that's pretty terrifying. Duh. Oh, will you pray for me, please? That's why we go through the Bible. I'm trying to minimize my damage and my dangers. If I depart from the Bible, that's going to be called on someday. If I stay in the Bible, it's going to be good. Are you with me? And I won't know, and you won't know, until the end when we stand before him. Well, how are we going to know? Well, we won't know fully until then, but we get progress reports. If we judge our lives according to the scriptures and not with among anyone else. We're coming to the finish line. Don't get discouraged. Because you know what? We have a tendency to get discouraged. Listen, you all heard this. In fact, I heard it this week. That's why I'm using it as an example. Last Tuesday morning, got up, stand in the backyard, had my cup of coffee, and the next thing I heard was crashing metal. Big time. Didn't hear brakes. I heard crashing metal. That's worse. And then 3-4 minutes later, you heard sirens. Wow, I heard it. Something obviously had happened. Some terror, some situation, some tragedy. And all of a sudden, life became a reality. Were they texting? Were they goofing off? I don't know. I don't need to know. But all of a sudden, listen, something came to an end. You and I can sometimes feel like, oh my gosh, this has been a huge accident. I've wasted my time as being a Christian. I'm not making a difference. Nothing, none of this seems to be happening. I see other people's lives blessed, and I listen, and we start to compare ourselves among ourselves. But listen, the moment we open up His Word and we begin to take our shortcomings, our failures, and our despondencies to Him, church, we all get despondent. We all feel like giving up. But when God says, listen, this is what He says to me. Did I tell you to quit? Did I tell you to give up? Have I told you to stop? No, then keep going until you hear back from me. Oh yeah, en route. That's right. Okay. Lord, give me the strength because I don't have it. All right, I'll do that. Are you with me, everybody? I forget what great person said this. Chesterton or somebody said, it's always too soon to quit. Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, then just keep going. Is that brilliant? And so you can close your Bibles. We end right here. We're prone to this. We need to remember that there's more to us than what meets the eye. We're prone to punch out too soon. I have a stationary exercise bike. Isn't that pathetic to admit? I'd love to be able to say, as a man, I have a real bike. I ride through the hills. I run over rattlesnakes and chase coyotes and lions through the hills. No, I put... I put Leave It to Beaver on my smartphone, and I get on my stationary bike, and I'm riding, and I set a timer on it. Because God forbid I should pump my bike over 30 minutes, you know. So I set it for 30 minutes, and I'm going nowhere. And then you're watching the show, and it feels like, okay, dude, this has got to be over by now. So I look, and like 10 minutes has gone by. And I'm sweating. It's like, oh. And I'm looking. And I'm looking at the clock, and it ain't moving fast enough. It's not getting to the countdown moment. And I just reached over and I hit stop. And I got off. Now listen, this is a real true story. Don't you repeat this. I said, Lord, I rode like it was 30 minutes. Look at this. I am sweating like a hound dog here. Oh. And honestly, I'll add 10 minutes to tomorrow's workout. You walk away justifying your situation, you wind up becoming discouraged. There's more to us than what meets the eye. You're going to live forever. If you trust in Jesus, it's going to be heaven. You're going to live forever, says the Bible. And if you don't trust Jesus, it's called hell. And He doesn't want you there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a mini-series called More Than What Meets the Eye. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a reminder about the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free, and once you download it, you'll have immediate on-the-go mobile access to real-life TV programs, our daily Real Radio broadcasts. You'll have video of Pastor Jack's weekly teachings, the online Bible, along with its daily reading plan, by the way. You can listen to it and or read it. Pastor Jack's real-life devotionals, tools and resources to help you know God a whole lot better. And you can connect with Pastor Jack through Facebook and YouTube and a whole lot more. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. It's a free download. Just go to your app store and find the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Want to reach us by phone? Real easy. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.